Good morning again. I certainly would first and foremost just like to go to the Lord in prayer again. Heavenly Father, I just come to you first and foremost praying for your forgiveness for any and all sins I've committed against you. May I not ever take your forgiveness for granted. Lord, I pray that your will be done this morning. I pray that your words be spoken. I pray that you would open each and every one of our ears. You would open our hearts and minds. That you would speak to each one of us, Lord. Heavenly Father, you are so immeasurable. You're so love. You are love. You're so loving and forgiving, merciful, full of grace. Your majesty is completely incomprehensible. Lord, it is truly your will, I pray, be done, and I thank you and praise you for all that you're going to do, and it's in Christ's most precious name I pray. Amen. This has been an exhilarating week, a exhausting week, a week that he has grown me seemingly in countless different directions. I mean, I'm going to try to, I don't know how long this is going to last. Certainly we'll try not to ramble and stretch it out, but I would encourage anyone, all of you, to get a pen and write down some scriptures. It's primarily out of the book of Colossians chapter 3. But I certainly want to first and foremost mention, as God had taught me this week and throughout the past whenevers, our God has no equal. There is nothing, and even everything combined is about the size of a pinhead compared to him. He has no equal. He is the creator. And I learned some interesting facts in watching God of Wonders. If you get a chance, yes, that's a song, but there's also a biblical-based scientific group of men who prove God's existence through his word and his creation. And God's glory is in everything that is around. It's amazing. Give you an idea of the enormity of our Lord, our universe. To go from one end of our universe to the other, the universe, by the way, that our God created, at the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second, to go from one end to the other end would take us a mere, at the speed of light, a mere 28 million years. And our God stretches out the heavens like a curtain. Now tell me God is not awesome. All of the billions and trillions and billions of stars within a galaxy, and in the galaxy there's other galaxies, and he knows every one of their names. This is a God to be feared. This is a God to worship, to honor and glorify. And I do a crappy job of it. I praise God so much. I mean, it's by his grace I'm here today. I'm not going to share a lengthy testimony. A lot of you know, but I praise God as I'm a recovering alcoholic and drug addict. By his grace, he rescued me. And if it be his will and I still exist on this planet and he doesn't come back to end the ways of this world, May 23rd of this year, he'll have blessed me with 21 years worth of today's, and I praise him for that. But we serve a God of love. God of grace, God of mercy. But let us not forget we also serve a God of wrath. And as we know, we are instructed by our Lord that we hate the sin and not the sinner. But he has taught me in the last few weeks and reminded me, yes, God loves us. God is love. And we love because he first loved us. But let us not forget. And I actually should start. I wish I could share with you all of the just the experience of what he blessed me with throughout this. The point is, God's word, very powerful. When you think about it, God spoke and things existed. Probably quicker than that. And he gave us this word, which was written by man but inspired by God. And that's the part that I can't remember the description. I apologize for that. I ask your forgiveness. But he gave us these words for instruction and teaching and growth. And as he knew that our struggle was going to be beyond our ability to complete, and our wonderful, loving God, he helped us right from the very start, and he made us in his image. So, but in not forgetting, we serve a God of wrath. And I don't want this to be a doom and gloom day, but I don't want people to get comfortable and complacent. You know, think, you know, okay, well, I said a prayer, I got dunked under some water, and I told somebody, so I'm just going to live how I want until I go stroll through the gates. Because let me tell you, I used to be living that way, and it's a very bad mistake to do so. I'm certainly not encouraging anyone to do that. I think you would be very, very sadly mistaken. But in the book of Psalm, chapter 5, and verses 4 and 5, it says, "For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes." And here it is, folks. You hate all who do iniquity. You destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the man of bloodshed and deceit. And I think we have proof. You know, God hates sinners because, if you remember correctly, he destroyed the earth minus about 8 people when he flooded it. So anyways, moving on to Colossians chapter 3. And let me tell you, it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And this basically is one of his many examples within his word that he instructs us how we are to live once he has saved us. And I'm going to read the entirety of the chapter. And so it says, "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil, desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth." This one here I think is a kicker, and there's no doubt in my mind each and every one of us do this, sadly enough, daily. On one level or another. And he instructs us to do the opposite. Do not lie to one another. "Since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. This one here, I think, is absolutely paramount within the church, the body of believers. In verse 14, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. You know, when I think of love, love is not, I think Brother Key says, a verb. Love is an action. And we have proof of that because our God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. And not only did he just give him, he showed us. If that vision is not embedded in your soul of our Lord's Son coming willingly to this earth, who knew no sin, to take on sin for all mankind once for all, to take our beating and hang on our cross. That is love. Continue in 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Here we go. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. This next portion coincides with the marriage enrichment class. It says, wives, be subject to your husband as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. So, and speaking of words, I've been reading this book by Ronnie Martin, and it's called Stop Your Complaining, Replace Grumbling with Gratitude. And sadly enough, it seems like I've been reading this book forever, and it's not very thick at all. It's not a very, I don't know. But the thing is, see, I'm reading this book about stopping complaining, but I'm complaining about reading a book about complaining because I'm complaining because I complain. Only humans do that. It's amazing. But I would like to skip back to 2 Timothy, verse 3:16. And if you don't feel like flipping, please write these down and go over them later. And I just can't stress this enough as he is really leading me, and as he has grown me, and I praise him for it because he inspires me, encourages me, and reminds me daily to get in his word. But getting in his word is not enough, and it's not easy, but I believe it's in Philippians 4:13 where we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It doesn't matter if you know the entirety of the contents within these pages. If you don't make application to it, you know, you're just wasting time. That's why he gives us these words. Anyways, in verse 3:16 of 2 Timothy. An organized person would have had all of this marked. But it's all good. All scripture. This is that, praise God, this is that scripture I was looking for and I couldn't remember. He's got my back. That's right there. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And continuing in 17, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. God is so awesome. Brother Ron brought the message about how God watches over us and protects us. And that's from the little most minute things in this world to the insurmountable things, and I praise him for that. So anyways, now I would like to go to the book of John. I love the very first part of the book of John. If this just does not make you get, oh, I don't know what to tell you. It's in the first chapter of the book of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Is that not amazing? The Word. He was in the beginning with God. That, I love that. And then, see, there's the wonderfulness of words, which, by the way, are only those of God. And then there's the dark side of words, which, as you know, comes from human beings. And we're going to go to the book of James in chapter 3. It's in 8 through 10. It says, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. And for me, it's magnified even more when you go up to verse 6 and it says, and the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members and that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. The tongue can be a very, very, very destructive thing. It makes me believe that's why he gave us two ears and only one mouth. So often, though, it's hard to reverse the positioning of the cotton. In my early days of recovery, an older gentleman ticked me off when he said it, but he said, you know, you ought to take the cotton out of your mouth, or out of your ears and put it in your mouth. And as much as that angered me, he was dead on. Because once I was able to start doing that, then I could hear. Because people could see things that I couldn't see. And it was a blessing. In the book of Matthew, chapter 15 and verse 11. And believe it or not, this is really a short version as to what I initially had. But I knew that people had to work tomorrow, as did God. So he had me shorten it up quite a bit. 15, verse 11 in the book of Matthew. It is not what enters into the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth. This defiles the man. And then you go into the book of Matthew yet again. You back up a few chapters to chapter 12 in verses 36 and 37. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You know, as we each stand before the judgment seat of Christ, there ain't going to be nobody there but us and all our sin. And we are going to have to answer to what we did, what we didn't do, what we said, what we didn't say. And that terrifies me. And moving on, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. And I don't want this to be doom and gloom, because, folks, it's not. And it shouldn't be. Because we serve this God who is so awesome. You know, sin, death, and the grave have been conquered by Jesus Christ. His blood cleanses, erases our sin. And he doesn't just erase it, he forgets it. As far as the east is from the west. And if you consider that, if that were to be the universe, phew, it's just gone. Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That song, the last song we just sung, lives in us, the Holy Spirit. Let's not grieve him. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And I certainly want to comment about Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. The information within these pages is absolutely, there's no value you can put on them when you consider their worth, their meaning, the reason for their being preserved for thousands of years. And you go to the book of James, and it's chapter 1 and verse 22, and probably a lot of you are familiar with this. I don't know why I'm having a hard time finding this here. Maybe the too big a hurry, huh? It starts with a B. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. And that, of course, is right in line with what he spoke earlier to me about applying his word. If you don't do it, you're not going to get anything out of it. You know, I so have remembered this as a wonderful friend shared this with me some time ago. Just because you come in this sanctuary and sit every week makes you no more Christian than if you go and stand in a garage makes you a car. It's just, you know, that's how it is. Truth is truth. But praise be to God, as we humble ourselves, admit our I know for me, I have countless daily faults. I trip, stumble, fall, and every time, praise him, he picks me back up and he brushes me off. Sometimes he carries me for a bit, and I praise him for that too, because Satan knows his time is nearly up. Not his existence, but his reign of rule in this world is coming to a screeching halt soon. And I praise God for that. In James 1:17, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In 4:8 of the book of James, and this here, if you can't understand that this here is an absolute truth, you know, God created us. He allowed his son to die for us. He chose us. He saved us. What more do we need Him to do? I mean, don't you think that we should seriously maybe take ownership and be responsible a little bit? You know, this is where it's our turn. And God wants us to because God loves us. I mean, He loves us so much that He let His Son die. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, all the ridiculous, sinful, wicked, horrid acts of mankind, past, present, and who knows what's in the future. And our Creator loves us unconditionally. This is the least we can do. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know, God has never, ever, ever, ever left us. We leave Him. We walk away from Him because we're not getting our way. We're complaining, we're whining, you know, well, guess what? It's not about us. We are not eternal unless He says so. And actually, we are eternal. But that part of eternity, I don't want nothing to do with. To me, the worst part of that eternity, when you're cast alongside Satan and all his demons in the lake of fire, that's going to be horrible. But to me, the more horrible part of that is knowing from that time forever that bridge that was put in place and filled that gap by the cross of Jesus Christ, it's gone. It's gone. And you will know that forever. I don't want that at all. I deserve that, yes, but I don't want that. And I don't want any of you to have that. We should all be coming together. Yeah, we might not like this about that person, might not like that about this person, and I'm sure there's a bunch of people in here that don't like a lot of stuff about me, but you know what? That's okay. It's okay. None of us, even those who are not here for whatever reason today, that's irrelevant, even those who haven't yet come, none of us are the enemy. The enemy is Satan, Lucifer, the one who wants to be God, the one who wants to be worshipped, the one who tried to trip Satan or Jesus up as he was led into the wilderness for 40 days by the Spirit. The one who used partial scripture to try to defeat and trip Jesus up. And Jesus used whole scripture. Here we are, the Word of God. Satan tried to use it for evil, and Jesus used it for victory. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. This is awesome. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the divisions of soul and spirit of both joints and marrow and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Now, if you can't put diverse I'm not going to say it that way. Because that's another thing God has opened my eyes to. So many times it's not what we say, but how we say it. And I'm also going to say, as I'm an opinionated person, and I pray to not offend anyone, I'm instructed to please God only. I'm instructed to obey God only. And that's, He's eternal. He is whom I worship. He is whom I serve. He is whom I choose and pray that. And somehow I might live, act, react, speak in a manner that is pleasing to Him, that brings Him praise, honor, and glory. And I pray I not upset anyone or step on your toes or offend you. But if I do offend you, it's not because I don't care. It's because I do care. But I only care because He cares. And when I say I don't care, He hasn't given me a new way to say this yet. So until He does, I'm just going to keep saying it the way He has given me to say it. You know, I don't care about what you guys want. I don't care what I want. That doesn't mean I don't care about you. I care what God wants. We're getting really, really close to the end, trust me. Ephesians verse 6:17, and this here, you know, and before we do that, if you can't connect, and I pray you can, and you probably do, connect the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 with the book of John chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2. The Word of God is very much alive and very active. His name is Jesus Christ. And He loves each and every one of us. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, and this I do believe is the last scripture that I had written down that He had me to write and to read. And it's at the tail end. So I'm going to actually go back over here. And I'm going to jump back to the Ephesians 6 and 13. And this is more of His instruction. It says, therefore, no, you got to back up to 12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, and against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation. And here's the kicker, folks, and the sword of the Spirit. Sword is used to defend, kill, pierce. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I think you should continue in verse 18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. I don't know what else to say other than that, you know, I have been struggling. I have seriously been struggling for a ridiculous amount of time. But have been tricked into believing that because, you know, I don't agree with Jim or Joe or Lucy or whoever, that makes them my enemy. They're no. Now, we as humans, we always want to, you know, because we're humans, we know everything. I mean, when I was 17 and a half years old and this far from 18, I was a genius. I really was. I was so smart when I turned 18, I didn't need an education system anymore. I quit. I dropped out of high school. Do not drop out of high school. I'm serious, don't. Praise be to God. I got my diploma. I was about 10 years late. But I praise Him, and He enabled me to successfully get my GED. And I was beyond thankful and impressed, maybe even shocked, that I actually had a B+ overall. And past elementary school, I don't ever remember getting a B in school. But unity. Put on the perfect bond of unity is love. You know, God's word says, if you get in here and look and read, it says, if you do not love your brother, you do not love God. Do you love God? Do we love God? Then why are we always at one another? Why are we letting stupid little things? You know, I learned this, and as he was rescuing me from drugs and alcohol, there is not one person on this planet, past, present, or future, I guarantee it, has ever tripped over Pikes Peak or any other mountain. It's the little molehills in life that Satan pops up at us. And it diverts our attention. It gives us distraction. It instills division. Our God deserves so much more than we can ever give him. And I'm prayerful as I praise him. You know, if there's ever anything that you see or hear out of me is good, trust me, it's not me, it's him. Jesus says, as he was called good teacher, Jesus says, and I can't remember the verse, and I apologize. Jesus says, why do you call me good? No one is good but God. So therefore, all things that are of good are of God. And I praise him for it. You know, for whatever reason, some of the things I've done in my past, I'm not proud of. I'm not ashamed of, but I'm certainly not proud of. And it makes me all the more thankful, because how I'm still here physically able today to be blessed, to be among people who should be loving one another. You know, his grace, my goodness. May we not ever take it for granted, ever. And I have to apologize and ask for you guys' forgiveness, because for one, his word tells us that we're to confess our sins to one another and ask for forgiveness and pray for one another. And I certainly am encouraging and hopeful that we're not selective with which of these words we apply to our lives. I feel every one of them is important, or he wouldn't have had them in here. But I have to apologize and ask for your forgiveness, because I don't put forth near the effort or energy that I could or should to be associated and affiliated with this body of wonderful people. And I ask for your prayer. And prayers that through Christ he would enable me and help me to be more energized, more available. Because it's what we're called to do, to become one. And that hasn't been going on around here. And if anyone thinks it has as a whole, well, you're starting to lie, and I'm not going to tolerate lying. His word says we're not to lie. Sometimes the truth is harder to accept in the beginning, but it's less difficult than having to reverse a lie. And if anyone ever has any problem or issue with me, I pray that not be the case, but ask my wife. It's going to be reoccurring. But please, you know, with love as best you can, talk with me about it so that we can pray about it, and so that his will be done, and our seemingly ridiculous indifferences, which may be absolutely definite, but you know, we all are different. He made each one of us different for a different purpose, for his plan, for his glory. But please, don't hesitate. And I just thank each and every person for being here and for listening, and, you know, he has used so many people within this body of believers over the past X amount of years. And I praise him and praise him. So with that being said, I'm gonna stop. And of course, if anyone here does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and is feeling led, please don't hesitate. If you've got any business whatsoever to do with the Lord, if there's something that's bothering you or eating at you, or you just want to get off your chest, whether you want to share it with me or the pastor or any of the other deacons or another brother and sister that is in here, because we are all brothers and sisters, by the way. If you don't want to share it literally with a human being, don't hesitate to come up here and give it to God, because he will take it. If we could pray, please. Heavenly Father, I just come before you praising you. I certainly have not ever done anything to have deserved this privilege this morning to speak on your behalf. Lord, I thank you and praise you as you are a God of love. May we strive to come together as one in the unity of love to just worship you and serve you for no other reason. Let us just get out of your way and let you be you, because you know what is best. You are eternal. And Lord, if there is anyone here who has anything that is troubling them, they need help with, they're uncertain about, they need prayer about whatever it is, Lord, I pray that you would empower them. I pray that your Holy Spirit would just completely envelop each and every one that is here, so that you and your strength would be magnified through our weaknesses. It's in Christ's precious name I pray. Amen.